Those two girls.
Lise, the lady we're about to speak to for today's little extra podcast is somebody we had an encounter with for the first time when we were at the Australian Commercial Radio Awards last year. It was the first time you and I had attended the event. Somehow we found ourselves there. We'd never been. We weren't nominated, but we were asked to present an award. We were waiting on the red carpet to have our photo taken for the first time along the media wall. And we were nervous, so nervous. I think we had a little bit of imposter syndrome thinking, what the hell are we doing here? And out of nowhere, this tiny woman in a ball gown jumped out and said, "Hi, how are you both?" And we said, "Good." We were just kind of a bit flummoxed. And she said, "I'm Beck." And we said, "Oh, hi, Beck, Lise and Sarah." And then somehow we were ushered onto the media wall and that was it. But that encounter stayed with us. And the lady we have at the end of the line is PR and communications guru Beck Brown, now adding author under her belt because she's released a book called You've Got This. It's the essential career handbook for creative women. Beck, welcome and thank you for your generosity and kindness the very first time we met you.
Oh, thank you. That was so lovely hearing that. Isn't it funny? You never know what kind of impact you might be having on somebody, because I was a huge fan of both of you. I listen to you and I think that you do amazing things. So I was just as excited to see you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Beck, you're a PR guru, as Sarah said. Can you explain to people who might be listening who really don't know what PR is? Start there and then we'll move into the book.
Great. Okay, so PR stands for public relations, and public relations is managing the relationships that you have with your audience. And so if you're a business or a company, that audience would probably be your customers or your clients. But it also applies to us every day because we all have an audience. So our audience might be our bosses, it might be our family or our friends. So managing that relationship all the time, and that includes your day-to-day interactions. It might be how you're portraying yourself on social media. So there's a lot that's involved with it.
I mean, you have a pretty impressive list of clients. You've built a career managing people's profiles and building their profiles. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the big companies,
big names?
Your name drop. Just name drop. Go hard.
Shameless name dropping. Okay. I started out my PR career, my first big gig was working with Universal Music. And so I got to work with some of the biggest names in music. So people like Dolly Parton and the Rolling Stones and Sting, Katy Perry. So a lot of those people. And then I slowly moved across and started my own company and kept that specialty in entertainment and media. So I work a lot with companies like Amazon Prime Video and HeyU. So we look after a lot of the Real Housewives and the Kardashians. And then with Amazon Prime Video, same, a lot of their big stars that they have on their television shows. And then we also do a lot of work with different radio personalities, people like Amanda Keller, Kyle and Jackie O, and a lot of those other ones as well.
Please, let's not forget the Wiggles.
Oh, the Wiggles, of course. How could I forget the Wiggles? Goodness, so exciting. So this week was so exciting because Simon the Red Wiggle was unmasked on the Masked Singer. And then on top of that, he and his beautiful wife, Lauren Hannaford, she's a fitness professional. She has this great program called Fit. And she's secretly been pregnant all through lockdown, which has been so beautiful. So they announced their pregnancy on the weekend as well. And gosh, that was such a great one because Simon's usually away touring 300 days of the year. So the logistics of them falling pregnant was probably a bit challenging. So they're having a lockdown baby, which is great news.
A little corona baby. Well, let's talk about your book now. So it's billed as the essential career handbook for creative women, like I mentioned earlier. Why was there this burning desire in you to get this information out?
I had a bit of a rough time navigating my own career when I was starting out in my teens and in my early 20s. And I wanted, this is the book that I wish I had back then and that somebody had handed to me. It's a bit of an invaluable mentor full of all the tips and tricks of what works and what doesn't. And if I had had this book, it would have saved me a lot of angst. I had a bit of a career change. I started out originally as a musician. I was a classically trained singer. And then when I was 25, I had what I called my quarter life crisis, when I realized that as much as I loved performing, it wasn't actually making me very happy and wasn't perhaps in line with some of my values and passions. So that's when I retrained and moved into PR. And I know that particularly at the moment, so many people and are going through, you know, life changes. They might have lost a job recently, or perhaps the career that they'd chosen isn't making them happy or fulfilled anymore. So some of it was to provide some information and helpful tips to help that. The other thing too is a lot of creatives are really wonderful at creating original, daring, bold, exciting work, but they're not necessarily very commercial, or they might not have a very good financial plan that allows them to actually set themselves up to create a great income while they're doing creative work. So this book gives some great secrets on how to actually not only have a great, successful creative career, but to also earn a great income doing it. And last but not least, it's to make sure that it also stops some of the anxiety and burnout, because there's no point earning great money or having an amazing career if you're going to burn out and feel really anxious and worried about it.
Was it scary for you switching careers? Because I read you went back to uni when you were 26. You decided to give performing the old heave-ho. And, I mean, you travelled around the world. You're very open about mental health struggles, eating disorders. Was it terrifying leaving everything you knew to start something fresh, or were you so ready for it?
I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And there was nothing wrong with that. What was great was sometimes that anxiety, you can kind of hijack that fear a bit and turn it into excitement and energy, and you use that energy to drive you forward. I hated starting at the bottom again, I won't lie. You know, I was doing quite well with my performing career, and I'd worked towards that for my whole life. Ever since I was a little girl, I'd been training towards that. So it was really hard starting at the bottom. It was a bit of a kick to the ego, to be honest. And I was also earning a lot less money because I had to start again. But I knew that ultimately it was going to be worth it in the end. So making that those daily repeated steps is what turned into that life transformation.
Beck, you mentioned earlier that you had some struggles in the early part of your career. I'm assuming that was the PR part, maybe forging your own company and what have you. If the book is a hack of sorts for other people starting their careers or looking to maybe pivot in their own careers, what would be something you'd tell your younger self to get you through those hard times you experienced?
I think there's two things. One is looking after, like, managing your mindset, and then the other one is setting yourself up to take action. So one of the biggest things when times are changing or when there's a lot going on, sometimes it's helpful to remember that while we can't always control what happens to us, we can control our reaction to it. And I know that people talk a lot about things like mindfulness or meditation a lot these days, but I've got to say it's actually something that's really helped me. I started a meditation practice probably about 10 years ago, and I wasn't great at it. I didn't do it every day. But for the last, I'm going to say, 5 years, I've meditated every morning for 20 minutes, and it absolutely just focuses me, and it allows you to tune out all the unhelpful thoughts. And when you're in a bit of a busy job or when there's a lot going on, there's a lot of uncertainty around what's happening with your business, being able to tune out those unhelpful thoughts has been something. So it's actually been a game changer. The other thing that I would say is just, again, look after yourself. So when I started the business, I was working crazy hours. I was working 100-hour weeks. I suddenly, instead of having one boss like I had at my old job, I had 10 of them, and they were called my clients. And I was doing everything I could to keep them happy and prove to them that I could do a great job. And sure, you know, that works in the short term, but over a long period of time, that all just leads to burnout. So I needed to learn to set some framework and structure around my life. Really boring things, but really simple things that anyone can do. Getting enough sleep, trying to get up and go to bed at similar times when possible, eating regular nutritious meals, making sure you stay connected. That's the other thing that I would say to myself. I can sometimes get a little bit isolated because I'll just put my head down and keep working, and making sure that you spend time with family, friends, and other people in the industry as well. That would definitely be a big piece of advice I'd be giving anybody. Stay professionally connected.
One of the tips in your book, which I really resonated and is something I'd probably like to do more, you've written, be the person who's calm when everyone else around you is losing their head. I mean, that's so, I mean, it's an,
hard to do, Sarah.
Right? I mean, we don't really lose our head, look, but inside you can be raging about things.
Maybe we should meditate like Beck. But
is that, do you think meditation's helped you stay calm in those kind of circumstances? Because obviously you do a lot of crisis comms in your PR agency, the comms department too.
Without a doubt, meditation has absolutely made me a less reactive person. When you're working in crisis comms, there's two things you need to do as well. The very first thing you need to do is when all hell is breaking loose, you need to be able to quickly get the facts. And you only want to look at the facts. You don't want to look at the drama. And I love the saying that there are facts and there is drama. The first is reality. The second is a choice. Mm. So we choose if we're going to go down.
Write
that
it down,
dramatic.
Reality and then choice.
Beck, I think, you know, your book is aimed at people who might be feeling that nervousness or frustration around career. With COVID, that's happening a lot in the form of redundancies. But I think beyond that, Sarah and I often talk, and lately we've been talking about it a lot, how quickly the social media landscape is moving. And sometimes, even though would you say we're established in our career? I don't know if that's the word I'd use.
Established is a strong word.
It is too strong a word.
In this environment, I wouldn't say
established. But we do feel so much nervousness about keeping up. You're a PR expert. You know, now you're not only dealing with newspapers, traditional media, television, magazines, what have you. The world is enormous and I feel snowed under by that. I feel like, are we reaching our potential? Because, you know, we're not on Snapchat. We're not on TikTok. Should we be? Are we going to be left behind? Is this the book for me? Because I feel that on a cellular level and it's not good for me.
I get it. I so get it. Isn't it crazy? It's that you just think about all of the possibilities that you could have for communication. They say that I think social media is a wonderful tool, but the saying is that, I can't think of what the saying is. I think
I've got my pen and paper ready.
We're ready, Beck. Don't let us down.
Tool. Oh, gosh. It's something about tools making.
This makes us love
service.
You even more.
I mean, you wrote the book.
Tools make great. Oh, I've got it.
Here okay, we go. Yes. Here we go.
Tools make great servants, but terrible masters.
Love it.
So the idea is that social media is your tool and you have to treat it like it's your servant. You can't be mastered by it.
There are a lot of people who are tools on that tool. What would you say? How do you curate your social media so it gives the best version of you?
The very best thing that you should do, and it all comes back to knowing who your audience is. So at the start, we're talking about public relations is the relationship between you and your audience. So know who your audience is, whether they're your bosses or your peers or whoever you're trying to perhaps impress or want to get in front of, or it's your clients or your customers. You need to know more about those people than anybody else, because once you get to know them, you then know what type of content you'll want to be serving up to them and the kinds of things that you'll want to be posting. But then it also comes back to your values. So when you know what your values are, they're going to be your guiding light to, in terms of anything that you post, you want them to be in line with who you are and what you actually stand for. So think about the type of, what is it that you love? What do you value the most? Who is that person? And how can you create imagery or cat words or any video, anything that's in line with that? The other thing I think is that try not to only choose the ones, you don't have to be on every social media platform, just choose the ones that are relevant to your audience. So perhaps if your bosses or clients or other industry peers are on LinkedIn, you might have a LinkedIn page, but you don't need to be on there every 5 minutes. Just put a standard landing page up so that people know who you are and they can reference you if needs be. If your peers are all on Instagram, maybe that is the place to be. Twitter is quite a good place to be if you want to be connecting often with journalists, but often Twitter's probably the least platform that I use personally, because it's a bit of a minefield. Mm. And sometimes there's a lot of negative. The other thing too with social media is the longer time that you spend on it, and this is all based on science. I've popped all this in the book because it's all based on research, that the longer you're on social media, the worse you actually start to feel. And it's because one of the reasons is because you're being served up content that you're not in control of. So don't waste, you know, hours going down a rabbit hole every day on social media. Literally set aside a little bit of time each day when you say, okay, this is when I'm going to be on socials, and then stay off it the rest of the time. Otherwise you won't get anything done.
Well, Bec, I'll ask a personal question now. You've released this book now at the age of 40. Lise has already turned 40. I turned 40 in November, and we're embarking on this new decade together. What does being 40 mean for you?
Oh, what a club we're in. What does it mean to me? This is going to sound a bit deep, but I am so grateful every single day that I'm alive. When I was struggling with my mental health in my teens and early 20s, I had an eating disorder and I suffered from depression and anxiety, and it took me a long time to recover. And I'm really honest in the book as well about a lot of the tools and tricks that I used and therapies that I use that helped me with my recovery. But when you go through some dark periods like that, when you come through the other side, you're just so damn grateful for every day that you have left on this planet. So I'm excited about getting older because I think it's a privilege and an honour, and it's something to be really grateful for.
I think people need this book, and they need it from someone like you who is really honest about things like anxiety and depression. I saw that you're doing a Zoom workshop for this book. How's that going to run? That's very exciting.
I am. So I'm doing a Business Chicks workshop about how to be a great PR and some great tricks that you can use, again, personally, or for your business. So I've been running the comms department for the last 9 years, and we have some amazing big clients. And so I've pulled together all of the great ideas and strategies that we use, and we're going to be sharing them for the first time.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I mean, how do you feel being doing the PR for a book tour, having somebody else in charge of it when you're the PR queen yourself? Is it hard to let go of the reins?
Oh, it's great. Penguin have been amazing. Their PR team are extraordinary. So I'm in very safe hands. I'll tell you what is weird, and that's doing interviews. I'm much more comfortable sitting back and having my clients be doing the interviews, and I just sit in and listen.
So, well, at least you can do your book tour in your lounge room, right? I suppose that's got to be a weird benefit.
It's very true. And I'm not going to lie, I'm wearing quite a nice top at the moment, but I am wearing my running shorts because I'm going to go for a jog after this.
Yes, get it, girl. Well, Bec Brown, it's been lovely, lovely speaking with you. You are as warm as our very first encounter with you nearly a year ago. Congratulations on the book. We wish you all the best with it. And I'm sure we'll be using some of your tips and tools ourselves. What was it? The tool is
the tool is
the social media
master.
Is your master, servant, yeah. Not your master. And yeah. We're going to put where you can find Bec's book in the podcast notes, nice and easy for our listeners. Mm-hmm. I think it's a goodie.
Yeah. And follow Bec on Instagram. She's always in ball gowns and making brownies. I'm here for it.
Thanks, Bec.
Thank you so much, Lise and Sarah.